just like the White House press room.
The White House is the idea.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you all had a great weekend. Today, we are going to share some details on our judiciary and public safety package that will be on the Senate floor today. The two or three highlights of this bill, really, number one, provides funding for more police officers because more good cops on the streets results in less crime. And it's very important to retain our current police officers as well as recruit new police officers. The recruitment piece will be in our higher ed package. But retaining current police officers is so important because we're seeing police officers retire at a faster rate and a younger age right now than we ever have before. And a big part of that is not only is violent crime absolutely out of control, but the whole defund the police movement and anti-police rhetoric has really put a negative spotlight on the law enforcement profession. So we want to help encourage current police officers to stay in this honorable profession. And then the next thing that this bill does is it holds violent criminals accountable for their actions. This bill is tough on crime. We want to stop the revolving door of violent criminals offending, committing crimes, and then recommitting those crimes, and then recommitting those crimes. It's time to get tough on crime. That's why we have a three-strike provision in this proposal today, again, to get tougher on crime and hold violent criminals accountable for their actions. And Senator Limmer will share some more of the details on the public safety bill, and then we're happy to answer any questions after that.
Thank Warren?
For those who don't know me, I'm Senator Warren Limmer. I'm the chairman of the Senate Judiciary and Crime Prevention or Public Safety Committee. The bill that we have today will be first up in the agenda, correct? And just wanted you all to know that our bill goes in three different directions, three main areas to focus on. The first one is support for law enforcement. The second area is the bill will get tough on criminals in certain aspects of crime. And then the bill also increases transparency and accountability in the criminal justice system itself. Let me go into some details. In supporting law enforcement, we have a number of bonuses and retention methods or methods to retain police officers as well as to recruit police officers. We have, for example, we provide incentives to encourage more people to pursue the field of law enforcement. We have a bonus program for police officers who go above and beyond the call of duty that would be administered by the local police chief. We have investments in training and body cameras. Body cameras really focused at the outstate law enforcement agencies. We know that the bigger cities have the funds to do that, but oftentimes smaller agencies do not have that, and we're focusing that portion of it on more rural areas. We're also increasing the number of VSETs. VSET, V-C-E-T, is violent criminal enforcement teams. And those have been around for quite some time, but we're adding money to that to stave off the threat of illicit drug trade as well as violence in our communities. The bill does get tough on criminals. We focus on updating some of our statutes on auto theft, carjacking. Believe it or not, we never have had a statute specifically for carjacking. We're recognizing organized retail theft. Oftentimes that's shoplifters that will come into a retail store en masse, cart off everything of high value in the store, and then they will sell it immediately. And they repeat that crime over and over, and it takes quite an organization to continue that type of enterprise, and we are creating a statute on that. Also, fleeing police officers is another criminal statute that we will be creating today. The whole purpose is to focus on penalty for repeat offenders and those that are a violent threat to our community. We want to stop, as Senator Miller said, we want to stop that revolving door of criminal activity. And I will be talking a little later on that. Revolving criminal behavior often happens when you don't have adequate response from the criminal justice system. The bill does increase penalties for offenses against our most vulnerable citizens, vulnerable adults, as well as unborn children who die in the event of a criminal attack on the mother. We do not have that, and we are following the Minnesota Sentencing Guidelines Commission, who wanted to have a specific definition of what that crime is. And so we're putting it into our booklet or our bill. There are targeted proposals on growing criminal problems around the carjacking and auto theft, like I said. The bill addresses problems with organized retail crime, as I said. But I also made mention that you have a revolving criminal process when you don't have response, proper response from our criminal justice system. And that's in our bill, we're focusing on making sure that we increase transparency and accountability in prosecution and the sentencing provisions that we have in law. We have found that there are a number of prosecutors that are not always prosecuting based on their definition of what a low-level crime is. I have to remind everyone that the legislature makes state statutes as the policy of our state. Governors sign those policies into law, and prosecutors are the ones who are to administer that direction of our public policy. When you have prosecutors who do not prosecute, they're taking basically creating a one-man legislature and saying that some statutes work for me but not others. Well, they have discretion, but they don't have that much discretion. What we're creating is a public searchable database that would record whenever a prosecutor dismisses a criminal charge. They have to give a reason. They have to put it in a public searchable database, and that will follow their name as well. We think that the public should have the ability to know what their prosecutors are doing. Same with judges. We're creating a searchable database that would recognize judges when they depart below the sentencing guidelines sentencing range. We think that's vitally important too, and that's beginning to have a pattern that we can't ignore. We certainly want to give judicial discretion to our bench, but at the same time, they too are not a legislature under their own right. I think that'll cover it. We're financially, we're investing about $200 million into this proposal. Some of the most notable items is we're going to pay for 50% of the probation costs in the state of Minnesota for our counties. 50% is a reference that was put into state statute about 10, 12 years ago, and the legislature has never owned up to that promise. So we're making that commitment to county prosecutors, or not prosecutors, probationers, and we think that's vitally important. We're also boosting, upon the request of criminal defense attorneys, we're offering them $50 million in expanded budgets ongoing to cover that. We also have YIP funding, youth intervention programming, that we're totaling $5 million, and that's ongoing. We also included, these are the newer items since the last time I talked, the YIP funding of moving it to $5 million ongoing. We recognized the need for rape kit investment or investigation kits. We are adding $3.5 million to our budget since the last time we talked. That will be ongoing. And Senator Latz had a DWI issue that he wanted to resolve, and we've included that. That's to prevent county agencies to earmark vendors when they're dealing with DWI ignition lock systems. There's a number of vendors that are providing it, but there are some counties that earmark it, and you can only get that vendor in one particular vendor in a county. We don't think that's correct. We think that should be an open system to get the best transaction made to protect the public's investment. Other than that, I can stand for questions.
Before we ask any questions, the reason why this bill is so important is because public safety is one of the fundamental roles of our government. One of the fundamental roles, one of the fundamental responsibilities of government is helping keep people safe. And this package of bills that Senator Limmer talked about makes significant progress in that area, especially at a time when we're hearing from far too many Minnesotans who no longer feel safe in the communities that they live, work, and raise a family. And when we hear from people that don't feel safe, that's absolutely unacceptable. And this package of bills takes a major step forward in helping keep people safe, helping make our communities here in Minnesota, all across Minnesota, safer by providing funding for more police officers, by supporting the men and women of law enforcement, as well as getting tough on crime, holding violent criminals accountable for their actions. So with that, we'll answer any questions.
Talk about the, go ahead. In committee, some of the prosecutors brought up the notion of the undue burden that this may place on some prosecutors to do this record keeping you're asking for in the bill. What's your response to that, Chair?
Well, I never thought that transparency and an accountability is an undue responsibility of anyone in government. I think it's appropriate. I think it's necessary. And there may be some prosecutors that think that it's undue burden, but it's time to let the public know what's really going on. In the metropolitan counties at best, we're finding that two prosecutors seem to be much more selective in how they enforce their law and make charges. And I keep hearing from citizens almost every day, why aren't they prosecuting? And is that a isn't that a contribution to the rising violent crime in the Twin Cities area? Well, we'll find out, but I think it's important for the public to know. Whether there's an undue burden or not, there's a cost expense. We have a budget year next year to address it, but nevertheless, I think the principle is absolutely necessary for the public to know what's going on.
Told you specific examples of charges that Mr. Choi or Mr. Freeman have not brought that they should have brought? Have you got specifics?
Well,
on that?
It's not in the regard from the citizens. They don't bring up a specific charge, but it's a general observation that many citizens are making. They seem to feel there's a pattern. When I've heard comments from Prosecutor Freeman, who basically says, I'm waiting for the legislature to reform certain bills, and if they don't, I will. I think that's crossing a line when it comes to prosecutorial discretion. Prosecutorial discretion is supposed to be focused on a case-by-case basis, not chapter and verse of an entire state statute.
Yeah. The Star Tribune had a big investigation this weekend about the juvenile justice system and, you know, repeat offenses among young kids, and effectively found that, you know, the system is failing the kids and the crime victims because, you know, they're being released again and there's not proper intervention. Would the sentencing changes here apply to juveniles too? And if not, are you looking at other proposals on that matter?
Well, since that article just came out yesterday, I haven't had a chance to really fully read the entire article. It may develop, I think, into a series.
Yep.
So that is of keen interest to me. I wish they would have brought this forward a couple months ago. But nevertheless, I think it is a keen interest. We're open to it. Perhaps you might have some...
These are for adult sentences, right?
Oh, higher level.
Yeah, no.
This bill would not affect juvenile sentences.
Specifically doesn't apply to juveniles.
I thought we were talking about juveniles. No, ours is focused on adults primarily, with the exception of the YIP funding, youth intervention programming.
Senator Miller, do you have any reaction to the story? Did you read it?
I have not read it. No, okay. I'm sorry.
All right.
When I hear three strikes, I think of the sort of the 90s movement called Three Strikes, You're Out, and with a third felony offense, you were sentenced to life in prison. That's not what you're talking about here. So could you maybe explain what you mean by three strikes?
Yeah, well, I can't, my memory fails me on the extended time that would be served, but the focus would be on a particular area of criminal sanction, and that would be on violent offenders. We have a chapter recognizing crimes of violence in our state statute books, and of those, there are some that are particularly heinous, particularly of a high violence nature. That it would focus on. Three strikes in those regards would trigger an expanded sentence. And I can get you the details on it a little later.
The upward deviation on the sentence would kick in and would be mandated on sentencing judges?
I believe it would be, but I need to review that particular provision.
Tara, have you had conversations with your counterpart in the House or Leader Miller? Have you had conversations with Speaker Hortman specifically about, you know, they have public safety bills and police recruiting bills too. They're different, you know, where you might be able to find common ground?
Well, I think there is common ground. I'm looking forward to the conference committee. We have basically some entirely different subjects, or not subjects, but different focuses. We are approaching it in a very philosophic way. We see the threat of violent crime. We see the opportunity of having a little extra cash with our surplus. Now is the time to protect our public. That's our number one priority in any government. And we were directing our attention on those three areas: law enforcement, recruitment, retention, improving criminal sentencing, and then bringing accountability and transparency to the criminal justice, prosecutorial, and judicial roles. We don't want to go into the business of building large bureaucracies. That's not the time for this. This is the time to react to a violent threat across our Twin Cities area, and it is spreading into our outstate areas as well. That's our focus, to keep our people safe.
I'll just expand on that. So I have had some conversations with the speaker and the governor. What Republicans are doing is making it very clear that public safety is a top priority, with violent crime rates at record highs, especially in the Twin Cities metropolitan area. And as I mentioned earlier, at a time when we're hearing from too many people across the state of Minnesota who do not feel safe in the communities that they live, work, and raise a family. That's why we're making public safety a priority. We feel the best way to do that is to have more good cops on the streets protecting our communities, as well as holding violent criminals accountable for their actions, getting tougher on crime. That's our approach. We think that's the right approach. But when it comes to public safety, we are open to any discussions that help keep people safe, help keep communities across the state of Minnesota safe. So we're open to those conversations, but our approach is very simple. More cops, tough on crime.
I haven't looked at any of the pre-filed amendments, but I know the House is really adamant that they want more money for community intervention groups in there. And Commissioner Harrington said that he thinks there is accountability with a lot of those groups. So that's probably something you're going to hear about when you get to conference committee. Are you still adamantly against that?
Well, the state has a history of using nonprofit organizations to augment services that the state provides. In this case, a very large dollar amount with at least what I've begun to see is individuals as well as organizations that are springing up rather quickly. And I haven't seen a track record. I haven't seen whether or not these are appropriate individuals or organizations. If we're going to give someone a couple million dollars to run a program, they shouldn't be complete strangers to us. And in light of recent abuses by certain nonprofit organizations that we have trusted the taxpayers' money with, I think it's appropriate for us to take a pause right now. I agree with Senator Miller. The immediate focus is the safety of our citizens. I believe that our existing systems are good for it. But when we talk of community policing, in the traditional sense, community policing means the police, local police departments make relations of a non-law enforcement matter with their community. Giving those same resources to nonprofit organizations, it kind of keeps the police isolated from their communities. And I think that all in the last 2-3 years, that's all we've heard is that police in some of our major cities are not having an opportunity to build that closer relationship with their community. I don't think nonprofit investment will do that either.
There are some other aspects of the House bill that aren't just for necessarily like intervention nonprofits, but like mental health co-responder model type things, homelessness programs. I mean, they dedicate money to a lot of different things in that public safety bill, even I think like blight removal. Are you all at all more open to those things that are not necessarily like a nonprofit that you don't know that does violence interruption, but sort of a public safety or like a police adjacent program like that, that, yeah, you might be more familiar with in other regards?
Some of the programs you mentioned are more of a social service responsibility. Personally, we have, even though we have a little bit more money to work with this year, they still are limited funds. I think our funds need to be focused on the safety of citizens more than anything else. I can understand the logic of a transitional cause and effect with taking care of people that might be homeless, but that's not my budget area. My budget area is public safety and the judiciary. And those programs, I don't think, are in the right place when it comes to our budget area. There's other agencies and departments that can handle that. And I would suggest they handle it in those areas.
I got just one more thing on that. Senator Limmer mentioned in his package of bills, it's roughly $200 million. Our overall package of bills on focusing on public safety is nearly double that amount. We have some money in higher education for recruitment, in transportation for helicopters for state patrol, school resource officers. So the whole package is closer to $400 million plus. I just didn't want to... His portion includes roughly $200
million. I'm sure you watched the governor's remarks last night. He seemed to suggest that you were close on UI and heroes checks. Is that true? Can you give us your lay of the land on those two?
Sure. So I did not watch the governor's State of the State last night. I was had a commitment playing baseball with my boys last night. So I did not watch it. I did see some highlights from it. I would say that the speaker and I have had ongoing conversations trying to find a solution on UI and frontline workers. We've made progress, but we have not reached a deal yet. And I'll also note that the Senate passed a bill to fully refill the UI bill, the unemployment trust fund, I believe it was on February 14th, 2 weeks into this session, we passed a bill to fully refill the UI trust account, strong bipartisan support, 55-11. To the best of my knowledge, I could be wrong, but to the best of my knowledge, the House hasn't even taken a vote on the UI bill yet.
On parental commitments, Senator Coleman was tweeting over the weekend about some of the challenges she's encountered as a working mom in the Senate, from scheduling and needing to be places in person to you know, kind of pushback or comments about shouldn't you be home with your kids? You're also, as you just mentioned, a parent of younger kids. Do you think that more needs to be done to make the Capitol a more friendly place from a policy, from a culture, for parents to serve?
Sure. So I think I can't speak for the House, but at least on the Senate side, we've worked very hard to make it a family-friendly environment with the schedule and the times that we're on the Senate floor for session times, committee times. So we've worked really, really hard to make it a more family-friendly environment. As you said, I have three young boys at home, which is why I couldn't come up on a Sunday evening for the State of the State. But I think we've made progress, and certainly you can always we can always look at doing more.
Chairman Lemmer, real quickly, is the it's been described as the Sheriff Fletcher carjacker chopper squad. what can you tell us about that part of the bill?
That particular portion of the bill gives Sheriff Fletcher the authority to create, for lack of a better term, a VSET, violent crime enforcement team. Don't use that as the reference, because Commissioner Harrington will get annoyed with that. But we're recognizing that there is a special focus that needs to be done on violent crime in the metropolitan area. And that particular funding would authorize Senator Fletcher to oversee a small group of specialized law enforcement team to address violent crime in the Twin Cities area. We think we need a little extra help and to coordinate action between other police departments.
And you feel comfortable it won't turn into a Metro Strike Force type thing?
No, I was in office at that time, and I know. Back then, there was no individual that was placed in charge of that. There was no accountability to a final person. And that ran amok in a number of different ways. But I believe that Sheriff Fletcher will be the proper authoritarian to govern that and administer it.
So as things stand today, Senator Miller, are you confident that an agreement can be reached with the House on public safety, or is this the type of issue that could get kicked to the curb here in the final weeks?
Well, I sure hope we can find common ground on public safety. Legislators are hearing from Minnesotans all across the state how important it is for us to take action and help make communities safer across the state. So I am hopeful that we can find common ground to help keep people safe here in Minnesota.
Off topic. Sorry if this was asked last week when I was out. What's going on with the GAMP sports betting bill? Is it going to get a hearing in the Senate? Do you talk to your chair about it? Do you want it to get a hearing?
When it comes to sports betting, we're still trying to get agreement, stakeholder buy-in and agreement. And so I've been having some conversations with stakeholders, trying to work towards an agreement. Without that, I don't see a path for sports betting this year, unless we can get the tribal nations as well as the tracks and others on board and at least having conversations. So we need stakeholder buy-in and agreement on it.
So they're not on the same page with what, because I know some of the tribal interests were expressed some openness to the House bill, I know at least, but.
House bill currently is exclusive to tribes, and that's not acceptable to some of the other stakeholders. So there are ongoing conversations, and it's something that I personally have long been supportive. I don't think there's any secret of that. So I'm hoping we can make some progress this year, but I'm encouraging the stakeholders to continue to work together to try to find an agreement. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.